Your ticket to big savings is that big blue envelope in your mailbox. Valpak. It's brimming with deals from big name brands and your favorite local spots. Dining, services, stuff you're already buying, all for less. And you could score $100 or other instant prizes just for opening it. Or save even faster with mobile coupons you can use right now at Valpak.com. Valpak. There's definitely something in it for you.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Jonathan Huber, otherwise known as Brody Lee, tragically passed away 5 years ago today. We still mourn the death of Jonathan Huber. He is missed, and to this day, he is beloved by not only the wrestling fans, by every single wrestler that he has had the privilege to work with. Brody Lee, we miss you. We love you, buddy. And this episode is dedicated to the legacy and memory of Mr. Brody Lee. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. Well, no need for another intro because I made it quite clear at the very beginning. 5 years ago, we lost Brody Lee. And yes, I do dedicate this episode to his legacy and to his memory. And I can't tell y'all how much respect I have for the man. It's really sad that I did not know anything about his career prior to WWE until I became a more educated wrestling fan several years ago. This is not the first time that I've paid homage to Brody Lee on this show. One of the first episodes of this program 3 years ago was basically an episode dedicated to him. I felt that, you know, it was time to do it again. Because when I said at the beginning that Brody Lee is still beloved by the fans and every wrestler that he has worked with, that right there is the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth. I can't sit here and say that he was beloved, because the truth is, he is still beloved. His impact on the business still takes a massive toll today. Because a lot of wrestling fans go back to watch his matches in WWE when he was performing as Luke Harper, his pre-WWE days, and his days as the leader of the Dark Order, as Mr. Brody Lee. You know, ladies and gentlemen, as part of my tribute to him, I'm proud to say that I actually have, as part of my collection of wrestling action figures, one of them happens to be Mr. Brody Lee, proudly holding the TNT Championship. I cannot tell you how impressed I was with his talent in the ring, his technique, abilities, everything. Jonathan Huber, otherwise known as Brody Lee, had it all. He had it all. You know, in the last episode, I said that Cesaro, or Claudio as we know him, is arguably the most underrated professional wrestler of all time. While that is most likely true, if we're to add somebody to debate that on who it truly is the most underrated professional wrestler ever, some would insist that Mr. Brody Lee goes into that category as well. Yes, WWE could have done a lot with him, but unfortunately they didn't. Now, I'll be honest, for so long, I was extremely disappointed and rather angry with WWE with their inability to use the man properly. Because Brody Lee, whether he was wrestling as Brody Lee, Mr. Brody Lee, Luke Harper, you know, we all knew what he could bring to the table. You know, one of my good friends, Chris Smith, who's a huge fan of professional wrestling, he actually knew Brody Lee before his WWE days because, you know, Chris Smith has been watching Ring of Honor, TNA. I mean, he had been following all the promotions for way longer than I have. I mean, for most of my wrestling life, up until probably about 6 years ago, I was only following WWE. But around 2019, when I started watching AEW, I really started making a case to following Ring of Honor, MLW, AAA Lucha Libre, CMLL, New Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah, the National Wrestling Alliance. I mean, I really truly became a wrestling fan. And I've said it on this program before that a wrestling fan basically supports all the pro wrestling promotions. So, and to see everything that he accomplished before arriving in WWE, I can honestly say that Brody Lee paid his dues. He was in the indies from 2003 to 2012, and in 2012 is when he arrived in WWE. No, in his pre-WWE days, I mean, again, he really truly was on a journey. I mean, you know, the Brody Lee name is unique, one of a kind, just like the wrestler that he was. You know, and whether I say Jonathan Huber, Brody Lee, or Luke Harper, we all know him. And no matter what name he performed under, he never disappointed. He gave it his absolute best day in and day out, night in and night out. You know what? I'm going to get a little bit ahead right now, but I can honestly say that the tag team of Harper and Rowan has to be one of the most underrated tag teams of all time, because Brody Lee, or otherwise known as Harper in WWE, I always say that Brody Lee and Eric Redbeard, well, Rowan is actually in WWE again. He's part of the Wyatt Six, but on the indies, Rowan is known as Eric Redbeard, if I'm correct. Eric Redbeard and Brody Lee are two of the most underrated wrestlers ever. You know, a lot of fans have basically, we've all basically expressed massive support for both Brody Lee and for Eric Redbeard because their great in-ring abilities, their ability to work. I mean, I've said it before on the show that Eric Rowan, it is not surprising to me how immensely talented he is considering that he was trained by Eddie Sharkey. Eddie Sharkey, ladies and gentlemen, also trained Jesse the Body Ventura, among many other wrestlers. Not to mention that Eric Rowan, I think, was also trained in Japan, I believe by Pro Wrestling Noah. So, again, I just cannot tell you just how impressed I was when I was seeing Eric Rowan and Luke Harper feud with the Usos in the summer of 2014. I mean, that was one of the best rivalries I've ever watched as a wrestling fan. And yes, Eric Rowan was, in fact, trained by the Pro Wrestling Noah Dojo. And Mr. Brody Lee was trained by Kirby Marcus, Rick Matrix, and Tony Mamaluke. Or Mama Luke. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly, but again, I just cannot stress enough how incredible Brody Lee was as a professional wrestler. His ability to cut promos were amazing as well, you know? You know, especially seeing him perform as Mr. Brody Lee, as the leader of the Dark Order in AEW, that character was truly one of a kind. It's interesting, when he arrived in AEW, he added you know, the suffix of Mr. Brody Lee, which I understand because it fit the character, because his character was a suit-wearing corporate executive. I mean, we all remember the character he had in AEW. You know, and I said, you know, a couple years ago when I did my first tribute to Brody Lee, you know, I'll never forget, well, now I'm losing, sorry, I just lost my train of mind, my train of thought, but, I'll just never forget expressing a great amount of remorse to the man personally, because it was a damn shame that Mr. Brody Lee never performed in AEW in front of a live audience, because, you know, during that time, we were in the height of the pandemic. It's a shame. But you know what? He still put butts in the seat. Everybody was tuning into AEW programming to watch Mr. Brody Lee. So even though he unfortunately never was able to perform in front of a live audience for AEW, he still made an impact Okay, let me rephrase that, because again, I'm having a hard time staying focused. He made an impact, and we're still talking about it today, 5 years later, I should say. And again, I apologize because I keep losing my train of thought because this one's a very, very difficult one for me because Brody Lee meant a lot to me. Professional wrestlers mean a lot to me. Professional wrestling means a lot to me. Especially these wrestlers that have worked so hard to make it to the big promotions and to just have such a unique chemistry and bond and connection with the wrestling fans. You know, Brody Lee, like Eddie Kingston and many other wrestlers, Brody Lee paid his dues and gave it his best day in and day out, night in and night out. Just like Eddie Kingston, just like Claudio, just like so many wrestlers that I have given nothing but praise to right here on this program, and I'm so happy to do it. Well, mentioning the stuff from WWE, well, that feud with the Usos, as I mentioned in the summer of 2014, was honestly one of the best rivalries that I've ever watched. The two matches that I remember specifically between the Usos and Harper and Rowan was the 2 out of 3 falls match, and then that tag team title match, I think at Battleground. I think Battleground was one of them, and that, I think the 2 out of 3 falls match was at Money in the Bank of 2014, or might have been the other way around. Or Battleground might have been the 2 out of 3 falls match, but again, Brody Lee was truly able to perform far beyond than what he could. I mean, in other words, he always went the extra mile. He always did better than anybody could have anticipated. What I'm trying to say is that Jonathan Huber, whether he was Luke Harper or Brody Lee or Mr. Brody Lee, he always did better than anybody could ever imagine. He always outdid himself. And what I love most about his character from WWE, I mean, those times when he would go, yeah, I don't even know if I did it right, but yeah, those that thing he would do, and I absolutely loved it. And his ability to wrestle the way he did was, you know, I don't know how many times I've said it already, but just unique and one of a kind. I mean, his wrestling style and persona, they all spoke for themselves. I mean, basically, great agility, his ability to move well, especially for a big guy. You know, again, I mean, every wrestler is unique in his or her own way. And Brody Lee was pretty much the same way. I mean, he was unique in his own way. So, man. So he bounced around, I think, several characters in WWE. I mean, I think, you know, for the most part, he was part of the Wyatt family, which is, of course, the cult-like faction. And of course, you know, he's up in heaven with his brother, Bray Wyatt, you know, Wyndham Rotunda, who, of course, we knew as Bray Wyatt. It's just so hard to deal with the fact that both Bray Wyatt and Brody Lee are both gone. It really is. But Brody's time as Harper in WWE as part of the Wyatt family was great. And again, of course, the time teaming with Rowan. But I think when he was basically at one point a singles wrestler in late 2014 and for like most of 2015, I believe, that's when I think WWE really dropped the ball with Jonathan Huber. So the Wyatt family split in late 2014, and we all know how that went. Of course, we all remember the Survivor Series match in 2014. Which was actually the best match of the year that year. So, I think, you know, a few years ago, like, when Huber made an appearance on Chris Jericho's podcast, Jonathan Huber basically kind of explained how he pitched ideas for a single, because he wanted to be a singles wrestler, and he knew that he could work, he knew that it would work out if it was done correctly. And I'll never forget how he says in the interview how Vince McMahon saw him as a hillbilly and instructed Jonathan Huber to speak in a southern accent, or as Huber said, in a southern like drawl. Now keep in mind, Jonathan Huber was from Rochester, New York. Now, sure, you can be from New York and be able to do a southern accent, but you know, it's not a gift that everybody has. But I think the way specifically how Huber said it on Chris Jericho's podcast, I think he said something like, Vince didn't see someone like me talking like me. He envisioned me as a backwoods hillbilly that spoke in a southern drawl. So, but I think, you know, he also mentioned that there were two specific ideas that Jonathan Huber pitched to WWE Creative for a singles run. And one of them was basically an intelligent monster. And the other one was kind of like basically a character that took trophies from his defeated opponents. Because in that specific interview with Jericho, Huber mentioned that he was very much into serial killers. So it wouldn't make sense that when you love studying serial killers, and that's something that Jonathan Huber and I both have in common, is, you know, I enjoy studying serial killers as well. So for him to come up with the idea that he has a character that beats up his opponents and then takes a trophy from each one, that actually is something that I think would work out well. And the other one, of course, I think him basically being an intelligent monster, how he would eloquently tell his rivals how he was going to destroy them, how he was going to, you know, do this and do that, you know. Both, I think, were very, very good ideas. So these are just two of the ideas that we know of. So, again, one of them was the, quote, collector who took trophies from his fallen opponents, and then the other one was an intelligent monster. So, you know, a wrestling fan I spoke to one time insisted that why not do both? Like, why not be an intelligent monster that took trophies? At first, I did not really agree with that because I kind of said to myself, here's what came to my mind at first. I'm like, do you really see serial killers, like, talking? I mean, yeah, you do, but I kind of felt like if you have a character that you beat your opponents and you take trophies from your fallen opponents, then for the most part, you should be silent, right? But no, I can actually see Brody Lee, or Luke Harper, portray a character that's an intelligent monster who still took trophies. I think, you know what, I think combining the two, I think would have worked out well, come to think of it. But because for so long I asked myself, you know, which character would I have preferred to see Jonathan Huber perform with? And I said for so long, I would have loved to see him be the collector gimmick. But to close out the part in the interview, he mentioned that the problem was he wasn't beating anybody. So how could he be a character of a collector who takes trophies from his fallen opponents if he doesn't win matches? Again, as I mentioned, Luke Harper, as a singles wrestler, that's where WWE dropped the ball big time. I mean, they dropped the ball. It was so bad that they had no choice but to pair him back up with Eric Rowan to reunite the Wyatt family. It's unfortunate. It truly is unfortunate that WWE dropped the ball with Jonathan Huber as Luke Harper, you know, for a singles run in WWE about a little over 10 years ago or so. It is what it is, I suppose, but still, I feel like if Jonathan Huber had a run as a singles wrestler and had he had a proper character and everything and if things had been booked properly, a singles run would have been very successful. So, as far as I'm concerned, Jonathan Huber did everything he could. He pitched numerous ideas, only for him to be rejected by Vince McMahon and WWE Creative. So again, McMahon and WWE Creative dropped the ball big time. And it's a damn shame, too. It's a damn shame. So before I kind of move on to the full-time discussion on his time in AEW, well, I should mention that, while he was reunited with the Wyatt family, it was actually split in 2017, and Harper reunited with Eric Rowan to form a tag team known as the Bludgeon Brothers, which was basically kind of a tribute to Demolition, at least that's what I believe. The tag team was technically modeled after Demolition, but I kind of honestly believe that Rowan and Harper were obviously paying tribute to Demolition, to Axe and Smash, the Demolition. So, of course, they were a tag team back in the 1980s. Now, that run was a bit successful, but I think what kind of killed it is the fact that I think Eric Rowan had an injury. At WrestleMania 34, the Bludgeon Brothers actually became the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And Unfortunately, that run had to come to an end because I think Eric Rowan had suffered a shoulder injury, if I'm correct. So it's unfortunate that things like that, you know, things like that do happen. But you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. So at that point, well, you know, there was a time in 2016 where Harper missed a significant amount of time due to a knee injury. So I think there was at one point that Harper requested his release from WWE, but he was not granted his release because WWE decided to add more time to his contract due to the time that he missed due to injury. But he was eventually released in December of 2019. So I guess WWE just decided, you know, I mean I don't know when his new contract was to expire, but from what I understand, that I think his contract was originally supposed to expire in November 2019, but WWE added 6 months to it due to the time that he missed due to injury, according to my notes. But he was released in December of 2019, so I guess, you know, they added that time. Then they decided, you know what, let's just go ahead and part ways so everything stays on good terms, and that's what it was. So, but I'll never forget, I think a few days before Huber was released from WWE, on November 26th of 2019, he actually filed a trademark for the name Brody Lee. So I thought that was actually a sign. So I'm like, okay, that might mean that he could be on his way out of WWE, and wherever he goes from there, I think he's going to return, he's going to bring back the Brody Lee character. So, you know, and my friend Chris that I mentioned earlier, I mean, he's the one who actually educated me a lot on Brody Lee in the pre-WWE days. So I thank you, Chris, for that. So he left WWE on December 8th and arrived in AEW March 18th, and he made a surprise debut on March 18th, 2020 on the episode of Dynamite, and he was revealed to be the Dark Order's Exalted One, who, of course, was the unseen leader of the faction. So, but I think at first, you know, I kind of feel at first AEW kind of messed up with a Brody Lee character in AEW, because when he arrived, Brody Lee spent several weeks undefeated until he immediately challenged Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship at the Double or Nothing that May and lost. So I said to myself, well, that right there is a massive screw-up, because you have Brody Lee come in, you know, he wins squash matches for several weeks. He attacks Jon Moxley and issues a challenge for the AEW World Title and loses. I thought him immediately jumping in the title picture and losing immediately was a very, very bad creative move. So, and then after that, I was like, you know, how does Brody Lee recover from this? And he recovered from it in August of that year in 2020. When he beat Cody to win the AEW TNT Championship in a quick fashion. I mean, that match was a squash. I mean, Cody had to put Brody Lee over that way, because, again, Brody Lee losing to Jon Moxley in the AEW World Championship match, I mean, especially how everything went so fast. Yeah. So it made sense for Brody Lee to quickly and easily defeat Cody to win the AEW TNT Championship. So then he held the belt for a little over 50 days, and I was surprised that he actually dropped the belt back to Cody, but knowing what happened after this, man. You know what is really, really sad? Is that Brody Lee's final match was him losing the AEW TNT title in a dog collar match to Cody. Because after that, Brody Lee disappeared from AEW television programming and went on a hiatus. And of course, at the time, we were told it was an undisclosed injury. But we know what ended up happening. So my guess is, all of a sudden, he was probably not feeling well, and he obviously informed Tony Khan. And I guess Tony Khan said, well, I guess, well, you're going to have to drop the TNT title. So Brody Lee drops the TNT title back to Cody and disappears from programming, like I just said. Again, we were told that it was an undisclosed injury. But and when he dropped the belt in a Don Carr match, that was October 7th. And as we know, Brody Lee died the day after Christmas in 2020. So I'm guessing that after that, Brody Lee was hospitalized. After dropping the belt, he disappeared, and I think he was hospitalized. And as we know, Brody Lee died from idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which, according to AI, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is a chronic progressive lung disease causing scarring in the lungs, making it very hard to breathe, with an unknown cause, but known risk factors like smoking, age, and genetics. Symptoms include shortness of breath, a persistent dry cough, and fatigue. And this illness mentions progressive scarring. Fibrous scar tissue builds up in the lung tissue around the air sacs, stiffening them and hindering oxygen absorption into the blood. Man. Again, this is just truly what's heartbreaking, is that the final match of his career, and then he dies several months later. Man. You know, and I think after that, you know, because remember, the TNT title, the original strap of the AEW TNT title was the red one. And the red strap of the version was retired a few days after the death of, after Jonathan Huber's death. So, and it was given to his son, Brody, who was named the honorary TNT champion for life, quote. You know, and speaking of Brody Lee's son, I believe he's actually currently training as a professional wrestler. I actually saw some clips that he's actually training with one of my heroes, Natalya. So, you know what? There's no doubt in my mind that Jonathan Huber, Brody Lee's son, will become a great wrestler. You know what? I can't wait to see him perform. Most importantly, I cannot wait to praise him right here on this program. As a matter of fact, I'm going to praise him already. 13 years old, training to be a professional wrestler. Honoring his father, following in his daddy's footsteps. Wow. But again, the fact that he died, you know, Brody Lee died 10 days after his 41st birthday. So according to Amanda, his widow, God bless her, she mentioned that he was receiving treatment for a lung issue at the clinic in Jacksonville, Florida since late October. So again, he had been in the hospital for about 2 months. So at first, okay, maybe he just went home. Maybe you think he was just ill. Maybe he thought that he was dealing with, you know, COVID. I mean, again, we didn't know at first. So he just had to drop the belt. Maybe he just needed some time off. I don't know. But she mentioned that he was in the clinic. He was in the hospital since late October. And at first it was believed that what he died of was related to COVID-19. But that turned out to be not true because Huber had tested negative multiple times, according to sources. So he was moved to the ICU in October and then passed away in December, 10 days after his 41st birthday. So, and furthermore, according to his widow, how she mentioned he died of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, it's a rare condition which causes lung tissue to continuously thicken until the lungs can no longer function. So from what I understand, the easiest way to know what idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, it's a rare condition which causes lung tissue to thicken continuously until the lungs can no longer function. Man, it's brutal. And all the wrestlers that paid tribute to him, I mean, Bray Wyatt first, you know, paid tribute, called Huber his best friend, his brother. Eric Rowan said that Huber, quote, meant more to him than he ever will know. Even Braun Strowman praised him. Cody Rhodes praised him. I mean, in Cody Rhodes' case, he was Brody Lee. He was Jonathan Huber's final opponent. And I could tell. You know, everybody, every wrestler that worked with Jonathan Huber, I could tell that they enjoyed it. Every match that I've seen Jonathan Huber work, I could just tell that the wrestlers were having fun. He was leading them, they were leading him, they were working together. I mean, everybody had nothing but praise for him. And I should mention that WrestleMania 37 in April of 2021, which I was there, Bray Wyatt actually honored Huber by shouting Huber's yeah catchphrase, which I did earlier. So I mentioned that catchphrase. Yeah. You know, that was one of my favorite things about Jonathan Huber, otherwise known as Luke Harper and Brody Lee. But I truly wonder how he came up with the idea for that catchphrase, for the yeah catchphrase. I really honestly wonder how that came to play. But all the tributes. I mean, on the December 30th episode of AEW Dynamite. I mean, it was a special episode called Brody Lee Celebration of Life. Man, yeah, I think his son is actually an honorary member of the Dark Order. So, man. You know, in September of 2021, after Big E became WWE champion, he celebrated with the New Day, thanked the fans for their support, and basically, and from one incredible friend above, so, you know, mentioning Jonathan Huber, so, man. And Bryan Danielson, who, of course, known as Daniel Bryan in WWE, he spoke about how the Brody Lee tribute show for AEW inspired him to go to AEW, so, man. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Man. You know, and that reminds me, you know, as I'm looking through some notes, man, the Pro Wrestling Tees shop AEW. No, I gotta get some of Brody Lee's merch. I really do. And right now that I think of it, I feel guilty that I have not done it already, because I love buying pro wrestling merch to honor wrestlers. I mean, I have two Terry Funk t-shirts to honor the Texas Bronco. You know, I love to honor Sting. I mean, I love to honor professional wrestlers. So I got it noted. I need to get some Brody Lee merch in the foreseeable future. And I plan on doing it, so, because I want to continue to honor Brody Lee to the best of my ability. Man. It's tough. It's really, really tough. And I think his son, who's currently training, his son's name is actually Brody. He actually had two sons. One's Brody, and the other one's name is Nolan. So, man. And after Jonathan Huber's death, I mean, Brody actually was signed to AEW and became a member of his father's faction at the age of 8. So, and AEW stated that he can immediately start to perform at the company when he becomes of age if he chooses to. So, I can honestly see Brody Lee's son wrestling for AEW. I can definitely see that. I mean, I can see Brody Lee's son being very successful anywhere he goes, whether it's in Japan, whether it's AEW, WWE. You know what? I wish Brody the best of luck. To Brody Lee's son, Brody, I wish you the best of luck, buddy. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. We all support you, bud. Man. Again, see, now I'm getting choked up, y'all. Now I'm getting really choked up. Because I'm just still in shock, absolute shock, that Brody Lee is just no longer with us. Man. But you know what? Jonathan Huber loved professional wrestling. Professional wrestling loved him. He's one of the greatest wrestlers and one of the most criminally underrated wrestlers that I've ever seen. His ability to wrestle, again, unique, one of a kind. You know what? He was himself. He was himself. And as I mentioned, his journey to WWE from 2003 to 2012 on the independent scene, he wrestled for promotions like Chikara, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate USA, Dragon Gate Japan, also a promotion known as Combat Zone Wrestling. I mean, he had been just bounced around, you know, paying his dues. And I'll never forget reading somewhere that in his pre-WWE days on the indies, Jonathan Huber actually worked as an elementary school librarian, which is actually really, really cool. Really, really cool. To work as a librarian and be a professional wrestler, I mean, that right there is a hell of a story. So again, he was working a regular job. He was working in the indies, you know, hoping to get his chance to one day work in WWE. I think I mentioned somewhere that he had several tryouts prior with WWE, but unfortunately, each one did not go too well. So I remember reading somewhere that at that point he had basically decided that his chances of going to the WWE were done because he was in his 30s at that point. So he felt that WWE would not take a chance on him, but nope. One day, while his widow Amanda was giving birth to their first son, Jonathan Huber missed a call from John Laurinaitis. And I think Laurinaitis said that they were interested in signing him or that they were signing him. I think I remember reading in the story that the voicemail cut off and he didn't get the number to John Laurinaitis. So Jonathan Huber called Claudio, who he knew because from working in the indies. So Claudio and Brody Lee knew each other very well because they had worked in the indies together. And of course, they worked in WWE together. So he called Claudio, who gave him Johnny Ace's number. And then the rest was history. So at that point, Jonathan Huber had finally done it. He had finally reached the promised land. And he dominated. And everything he did in WWE, we will never, ever, ever forget it. Everything he did in AEW, we will never, ever forget it. Just absolutely incredible. Brody Lee, rest in peace, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for everything. I am forever grateful. You're in a good place, Brody. You're in a good place. And to his widow, Amanda, and to his two wonderful children, God be with y'all. I support y'all. I love y'all. Thank y'all very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Again, thank y'all very, very much. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, and I wish you all a Happy New Year. Thank you again. God bless. Brody Lee, we miss you, buddy. We miss you.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.